This is Mike Dot with the Relax Back UK show on UK Health Radio, your global real feel-good radio station. On the Relax Back UK show, we explore all kinds of health topics, so keep listening and enjoy the ride. Thank you for joining me with the Relax Back UK show this week. The show is made possible by the kind sponsorship of AlgaCells. AlgaCells uses the body's own stem cells' ability to regenerate tissue to treat joint and spine injuries and pain. Check out their website, AlgaCells.com. Now this week, I went to a conference attended by staff at four major cancer research establishments in London. The Barts Cancer Institute of QMUL, University College London Cancer Centre, King's College Cancer Centre, and the Francis Crick Institute. They have come together to make a partnership called the City of London Major Centre, and it has a significant objective.
There are new types of cancer therapies called biotherapeutics. So this is where we're really trying to understand how to use biological agents, and in some cases our own bodies, to try and help treat cancer better.
Professor Hody Vala-Dilk and other scientists spoke to me about how they're hoping to achieve this goal. The approach is very cooperative and there are high expectations.
I think the most exciting thing is that the City of London Major Centre is really bringing together these institutes to work together. And that's really never been done in this way before.
Following on from that, Dr. Sibig Kirkor explains how regenerative medicine that essentially uses the body's own healing powers can help repair joints. In this case, specifically arthritic knee joints.
So basically what platelets do, they initiate the regenerative process. They recruit the cells, including the stem cells, which are in the joint and in the surrounding tissue. And they sort of kick them into work.
So please do stay with me for a great show. Thank you.
This show is cool.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at AlgaCells know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. AlgaCells, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. AlgaCells. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Before I start the show today, I just want to tell you about a little experiment that I tried the other day. I said to my smart speaker, play the Relax Back UK podcast. And it did. And then I said, play the previous episode. And it did that as well. So it's another way to listen to the Relax Back UK show. So I thought I'd just let you know about that. But I have to say, that's not the real part of the story that I want to tell you. After I'd done this and it was playing, my daughter came in. And as it dawned on her that it was my voice that she could hear, she said, "Oh, it's you. I thought it was Radio 4. Well, I'm probably not quite at that standard yet, but I'll take any compliments I can. So anyway, do try and listen to the show using your smart speaker and just say, play the Relax Back UK podcast and see if it works for you. On with telling you about the cancer research conference in London that I went to.
So this is a very exciting day for me because I'm surrounded by esteemed scientists. I'm actually in the Francis Crick Institute in London, and I'm at a conference, and it's the City of London Major Centre Conference, which is sponsored by CRUK. So I think first of all I'm going to get Professor Hodivala Dilk just to give us an outline of what it's all about. And this is particularly easy for this part of the interview is very easy for me because I've got to say Professor Hodivala Dilk is also my wife. So please tell us what it's all about.
So this is a really exciting conference, and it represents an annual conference that happens for the CRUK City of London Major Centre. And the City of London Major Centre is also really exciting because that incorporates a partnership of scientists from four different institutes, including the Francis Crick Institute, where we're standing, University College London, King's College London, and the Barts Cancer Institute at Queen Mary University of London. So what this is a group of scientists, probably in the region of about 200 different groups, who are all...
So when you say group, you mean one lab with one lab head, do you? Sort of directing the work.
So each group is a different laboratory that's being run by a single principal investigator. And what it's doing is it's helping us to all really work together. And the overall goal is to really try and understand how we can make therapies work better and how we can identify patients in which those therapies go.
All right, so that this must be up. If you've got 10 people on average in each lab, you've got 2,000 scientists beavering away, working hard. And look...
Might be a bit less than that, but yeah.
Okay, but... A lot of scientists, and the overall question, the sort of the overall push of the research is what? Is it easy to kind of summarise that?
Yes, it is easy to summarise because actually, so there are new types of cancer therapies called biotherapeutics. So this is where we're really trying to understand how to use biological agents, and in some cases, our own bodies, to try and help treat cancer better. But in addition to that, part of the City of London Major Centre has a special focus on radiobiology and radiation therapy. And so there is another arm of this called RadNet, which is Radiation Network, which is another idea to try and understand better how we can improve radiation therapy, make it work better, make it more work more efficiently.
Okay. Right, so you mentioned this brings in different organisations, and you mentioned them. So now, and I said I was surrounded by eminent scientists, so now's probably a good idea to bring some of them in and ask them, get them to introduce themselves and just say what their part in the whole plan is. So please, let me start with you, Rory. No, I read that incorrectly. Gary.
Hi, I'm Professor Gary Royal, Professor of Cancer Engineering at UCL, and I'm involved in RadNet, which, as Keb's just said, is the way of trying to improve the effectiveness of radiotherapy. Roughly half of cancer patients in the UK get radiotherapy as part of their treatment. And for many, it's very successful, but for some, less so. And we see some patients, their cancer comes back after a period of time. And we want to understand what the causes of that are. And so we have a team of researchers across our four institutes and our partner hospitals where we're trying to understand why is radiation successful in some and less so in others? How can we improve the success of treating patients with radiation?
So is it more successful in different people or for different cancers or both?
Mainly different cancers. Some respond very well. Some of the common cancers are very responsive to radiation and patients will survive. Others less so, and we see a recurrence. And so through our team of biologists, we're trying to understand what are the fundamental causes of that and how we can develop drugs and biotherapies to improve and improve the success.
Well, that sounds like it could be the topic of another long show. So perhaps let's park that one and move on to the next scientist. James, please introduce yourself and what you do.
Hi, so I'm James Arnold from King's College London, and I actually work in the field of immunotherapy. So my lab has been working on ways we can harness basically the patient's own immune system to fight cancer. So we've done this through a variety of different approaches, using small molecule drugs that you can potentially kind of take the brakes off the patient's immune system to actually probably be more prone to actually target the cancer. But we've also been looking at cellular therapies, which means you could basically take cells from a patient's blood, genetically engineer them to put them back into a patient to target the cancer.
Okay, that sounds like one of those things that is easy to say and very difficult to do.
Actually, I guess this is one of those points of saying about collaboration. So through the Centre of London, we've actually been supported through setting up a new collaboration with University College London. And new groups there that work on these very therapies. So through the actual Centre of London, it's kind of broken down the walls and actually supported a collaboration between our two institutes.
And so this is a question from a non-scientist, I have to say. It sounds like this is looking at potentially more personalised medicine. Is that kind of moving in that direction?
Yes, I mean, there are two approaches the medicine can go. I mean, in the current form, probably the simplest is to take samples from the patient. But ultimately, the way that the therapies are going is it could be that you have off-the-shelf cells that you can actually then engineer and then place back into any patient. But at the moment, the majority of the sort of therapy approaches we're looking at are from the patient themselves.
All right. Fantastic. Right, so one more scientist to go. And last but not least, I've got difficulty with my glasses here because I have reading glasses and everyone's badges are further away. So, Victoria.
Hi, lovely to meet you. And my name is Professor Victoria Sanz Moreno. I work at Barts Cancer Institute at Queen Mary, University of London. And our group is very interested in understanding a very complex process called metastasis. And metastasis, unfortunately, kills 90% of cancer patients, and we still don't have very good approaches to target this process.
And that is essentially when cancer tumor cells spread around the body.
Exactly, that's the exact definition. So not all cancer cells can do this. Some of them are very good at doing it, and we want to understand what's different about them so that we can prevent them from spreading around the body. And one of the things we have found that is very interesting about these cells and very dangerous as well is that they have a higher ability to escape the immune response and the immune system and hiding from our own defenses. So one thing that we're really trying very hard is to block at the same time their ability to metastasize and to escape or evade the immune system so that we get a kind of double hitting of this.
Yeah, a double whammy.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. I like the sound of that. Fantastic. Right. Well, absolutely lovely to meet you all and hear just in a nutshell what you're doing. I mean, it's fascinating. I would like to sit down with all of you and really talk more at some point. So maybe that would be possible. But just going back to Professor Hodivala.
I think the most exciting thing is that the City of London Major Centre is really bringing together these institutes to work together. And that's really never been done in this way before. And actually, I think when we started, we were all a little sceptical, but now it's really rolling. And if it weren't for CRUK's really generous funding, we wouldn't be able to do any of this. So thank you, CRUK. Thank you to all of you who are donating to CRUK. Every single penny counts.
And indeed, the conference is happening at the Francis Crick Institute where the CRUK is based. So excellent. All right. Once again, many thanks to all of you.
This show is cool! UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Dr. Zabid Kirkar is a consultant in pain medicine. He's a specialist in regenerative orthopedics. And the first thing I did was just thank him for joining me.
Thank you for inviting me. Great pleasure.
So the objective is today actually is to home in on one particular thing you help people with, which is knee arthritis. But before that, I thought it might just be sensible to sort of generalize a little bit on the sort of things that the regenerative orthopedics that you do can help with in more general terms.
The regenerative orthopedics is a relatively new subspecialty, and it's an emerging field in orthopedics. And it's been used for treating the arthritis, degenerative changes in the joints and the spine, and also the sport injuries and that sort of conditions. So plenty of musculoskeletal conditions can be treated with regenerative orthopedics.
Okay, all right. So quite wide-ranging.
Yes.
The idea today is to really talk more about knee arthritis, which knee pains affect a lot of people, but specifically arthritis, because there are different sorts of arthritis, I think. So which arthritis can you help with?
The knee arthritis, I think the knee is one of the commonest affected joints with arthritis. In principle, there are two different types of arthritis. One is osteoarthritis, and this is the one which I would like to focus on. And the other one is the rheumatoid arthritis. Rheumatoid arthritis is a completely different disease. It is a systematic disease. And unfortunately, we can't help people a lot with rheumatoid arthritis. The other one is psoriatic arthritis, which is associated with psoriasis. This is also more systematic disease. And this is, again, not the best indication for the regenerative medicine. But we can help, and we do see patients with osteoarthritis. And the difference between those three ones is that osteoarthritis is a localized disease. It's a localized inflammation that affects basically one joint or multiple joints, but it's not a systemic disease.
And is it inflammation? What's the inflammation of? Is it inflammation of the bones or the tendons or what is it?
It's the inflammation. The inflammation starts in the joint. And for years, we thought that it was the inflammation of the cartilage, because what we see as an effect of osteoarthritis is cartilage damage. But now we know that actually the process starts in the bone underneath the cartilage. So this is where the problem starts. Therefore, trying to treat cartilage might be not fully effective, because it's actually dealing with the effect of osteoarthritis, where the whole process is happening in the bone.
All right. I didn't realize this. So you said this is a relatively new kind of way of looking at it.
Yes. I mean, the surgeons, they used to do one of the orthopedic procedures was to improve the blood flow in the bone under the cartilage. But this procedure was designed mainly to improve the blood flow to the cartilage. So still the cartilage was on top of the list of the causes of arthritis. Whereas now we know that this is not there. It's actually effect, not the cause.
Okay, interesting. All right, so maybe the thing to do is if you can take us through the procedure. If someone comes to you and they have this arthritis that you can help with, what, you know, they come to see you the first day, what happens,
yes.
and what's the rest of the yes. what's the rest of the procedure?
So basically, it is the day surgery procedure. It's done under local anesthetic. This is something what we have introduced to our clinic fairly recently. I had a great pleasure to spend some time with Dr. Luna in Almeria in Spain, who has designed the whole process to be able to actually do it in the clinic, not in the operating theater. So it doesn't involve general anesthetic. It involves local anesthetic only. So it's much easier for the patient.
And that's a big deal. I mean, isn't it? Because anyone who has had a general anesthetic will know that actually it can be pretty nasty. I've had one in my life. It was a long time ago, but it took a few days to recover. And when I came out from being under, I felt horrible.
Yes, the anesthetics obviously has improved over the years, but still it is the medical procedure. It's not free from possible complications and side effects. So being able to avoid the general anesthetic for this procedure is absolutely great. And local anesthetic, when applied appropriately, is absolutely sufficient to patient comfort and take the patient through the procedure safely and comfortably. We take the patient's blood where we can get the platelets and create the platelet-rich plasma, which we will be injecting into the... And then we inject it into the bone. We go, instead of going into the joint, we go into the bone above the joint and below the joint.
Let me just rewind a little bit, if I may, Zabig. So you take some of the patient's blood. How much and where from?
We take the blood like for the blood tests. So it's one of the veins, and we take probably about 100 mils of blood. So a bit more than for the tests, but much less than somebody who is a blood donor. And we process this blood in our laboratory to get the good dose of concentrated platelets. And these platelets are then injected into the bone via the special...
All that happens on the same visit. So I come to see you. You take some blood, and then you do... Actually, what do you do with it to get the concentrated platelets?
It's basically it's the process which happens in the centrifuge. We have to spin it to separate the plasma from the red cells. And this is how we concentrate the platelets. It's a pretty straightforward process. It takes probably about half an hour, 40 minutes to proceed. At that time, patient can wait in the waiting area, can go for a coffee, for a walk, whatever. And then they come back. And with the use of ultrasound, we localize. We were very precise where we put the special bone needle. And we slowly inject the platelets, and the procedure is done. So the whole process, the whole procedure takes all together, from patients walking in to patients walking out, takes probably about 2 hours.
Okay, that's fantastic. Let's have a bit more detail. So, right, you've just taken my blood. I've gone for a walk around the block, had a coffee. I come back, and then it's time for the local anesthetic. What does that involve?
No.
Oh,
no,
I missed that
the
step.
Local anesthetic. I will put the local anesthetic in the same time when I'm taking your blood.
Okay.
The reason for that being, and this is the crucial element of the success in this procedure, is that local anesthetic works very quickly if you inject it into the soft tissue. So, you know, if you go to a dentist and they put the local anesthetic, after 10 minutes, your half of your face is numb.
Yeah, it's very fast. Yeah,
exactly. And it's the same. If you inject it into the skin or into the muscle, it will be numb almost immediately. But the surface of the bone requires much longer time for the local anesthetic to kick in. So this is what I've learned from Dr. Luna. And this is, I think, the the trick in the whole procedure is to put the local anesthetic, the big amount of local anesthetic, a good half an hour or 45 minutes before you actually stick the needle in the joint and in the bone. Okay. So I will put the local anesthetic at the moment, at the time when you come for giving blood, and then I will let you go. Local anesthetic will do your job once you sip on your coffee, and then I will be working in the laboratory, processing your blood and concentrating the platelets. Then you will come back, and with the ultrasound guidance, I will make a little drilling into the bone, and I will inject the super concentrated platelets into the bone under the cartilage. Job done.
All right. So going back to the local anesthetic, it's one injection into the joint, is it?
It's two injections. It's basically because we are injecting two bones. So we are injecting one bone which is above the joint and one which is below the joint. Right. So those two bones, they are forming the joint. Okay.
And the injection actually goes into the bone?
It goes on the surface of the bone, obviously the soft tissue as well, and then on the surface of the bone. So you sort of poke the bone. It's painless when it's done. It's not hurting.
And there's once that's done, there's no problem being released for half an hour to go for a little walk.
No. Because basically the concentration of local anesthetic, which we use, is low. So it means that the low concentration of local anesthetic blocks only the sensory sensation. So the feeling, the touch, the pain, that sort of sensation. It doesn't block the motor part of it. So the joint is still fully functional.
Excellent. So then I come back and... So does the operation, do I have to be kind of clamped completely still? Because, you know, if you're drilling a little hole into the surface of my bone, presumably, you know, if I sneeze or something, it's not great. So am I clamped still?
No, that's not a problem. That's not a problem. The surface and the volume of the bone is massive compared to the size of the needle. So it won't affect, and people sometimes want to move a leg a little bit. That's absolutely fine, and this is again another advantage of having patient conscious, because we can communicate. You can tell me, oh hang on, I have to sneeze. Yes. Or, you know, I have to change my position. So, you know, it's we are in a constant communication, and so it's really a fairly easy process. Yeah. and safe.
And you mentioned when you are making the little hole in the bone to put the platelets into, you use a visual thing to help you. And what sort of visual thing is that?
We use the ultrasound, so we can see exactly where the bone is, we can see exactly where the joint space is, and it guides us, and we can see actually the needle going into the joint when we use the ultrasound. So that's what we do.
This is fascinating. So
it is.
So when you make a little hole in the bone, how deep is the hole?
It's basically going like 1-2 centimeters into the bone, and bear in mind that actually the middle of the bone is the empty space. This is where the bone marrow sits. So you are not drilling in a hard surface, in a hard stuff all the time. It's just getting into this softer bit. So right. Yeah, it goes probably to around 2 centimeters into the bone.
Okay, this is fantastic. So then you inject the platelets in. So then can you describe sort of the process that Mother Yes. Nature then does to kind of heal the bone?
Yes, it's basically we use the electric drill, and because that gives us a very quick progress of the needle. And it takes seconds.
What I really meant is once you've done that, and you know, yes, you go home, what's the process that the platelets, and what does Mother Nature actually do to heal your bone?
Okay, so the platelets are the little things containing a huge amount of very important and potent proteins called the growth factors and anti-inflammatory factors. So basically what platelets do, they initiate the regenerative process. They recruit the cells, including the stem cells, which are in the joint and in the surrounding tissue. And they sort of kick them into work. And they platelets for the tissue are like double espresso shot. You know, it's just yes, and there's a surge of energy, surge of growth factors, and healing factors, and this is how it happens, and it's absolutely fantastic. The more we learn about it, the more fascinating it is.
So it's a big that the bone will start to heal. Will that have an effect on the cartilage? Because as we were talking earlier, the thought used to be that the cartilage essentially wears out and that's the problem. So the cartilage will still have worn out, but will, if the bone regenerates, will that have a good knock-on effect for the cartilage?
To a degree. And I think it will. The main purpose of doing this procedure is to improve the function of the joint. So to offer patient a less painful or painless movement and better sleep in the night, not being woken up by pain in the joint. So essentially, we are aiming here to improve the functioning, the daily functioning, returning to sports or any activities patients enjoy. I think that the improvement in anatomy of the joint is secondary, and I don't think it's very important. And for patients, I think for patients more important is to get back to normal function. And also, we have to remember that these people are usually candidates for total knee replacement, and also, we have to bear in mind that in the UK, we have about 100,000 total knee replacements performed a year. And the statistics is brutal. 90% of them works well after 5 years. But it also means that 10% doesn't. Mm. And 10% of 100 is 10,000. That's the big village or a small town of people who actually did not get any improvement from the total knee replacement.
And a total knee replacement, that's not a two-hour visit to the doctor,
no,
is it?
It's a big operation, deal. Yes. Big operation with low but still considerable amount of complications involving anesthetics and so on. So I think... If we can even delay the operation, particularly in the younger patients, and again we have to remember that younger and younger people are actually having the operation now. People in their 40s and 50s are going for the knee replacements, and I would like to just to say a few words about the absolutely fantastic study which was published in 2021. By Philippe Arnigou. He's a French orthopedic surgeon. He's a pioneer in regenerative orthopedics. And what he did, he gathered 30 patients with a knee arthritis in both joints, in both knees, okay? So in each patient, he injected into the joint in one knee and into the bone in the other knee. Okay, so each patient had two treatments. One was traditional injection stem cells or platelet-rich plasma into the joint, and the other knee was injected with into the bone. And he watched them for 10 years. Okay, so it's a very, very long follow-up time. So for 10 years, and he found out that after 10 years, in the group, where the joints which were injected into the bone, 20% needed the replacement, the operation, mm-hmm. compared to 70% of the joints which were simply just the injection into the joint. Okay, so it's a massive difference. And also he noted that all patients over these 10 years were more comfortable with the knee that had the injection into the bone. So that gave them definitely better improvement in function. All right. So I think this is very convincing study.
This is good news. Certainly good news. I mean, some people might argue that an N of 30 is not so huge, but you know, you've got to start somewhere.
Yes.
When a patient comes to see you and they have, this is a very difficult question, by the way, probably unfair. Just a warning. When a patient comes to see you and has the procedure done, what sort of time frame might it be before they start to feel a difference?
Some of them, surprisingly, they feel a difference almost immediately. But I would say that the full effect would develop within, I would say probably, I would give it a 3 months.
Right.
Of the gradual improvement.
And also, so recovering from the procedure is, well, hours really, or minutes.
Yes, we usually ask patients to be careful with excessive usage of the joint for 2 or 3 days, just to give it a rest and make the bone recovering from this drilling. But really, it's much less cumbersome for them compared to recovering from operation. That's obvious.
I suppose what I'm really thinking of is, you know, if you're dealing with someone who's kind of frail, a bit elderly, having a major operation is a big deal, but having this done to you sounds like it might be, you know, a lot more feasible.
Yes, I think so. And I think this is a great opportunity for patients who, for some reasons, they can't have anesthetics because they are too frail. And they might be feasible for the operation, for the knee replacement, but unfortunately, they can't have it because they are too frail.
Mm-hmm. No, I get that. One thing that if you have this treatment and it works and you carry on living your life, but then you start getting the knee pain again, you know, in a few years' time, is it possible to repeat it?
Yes. That's another beauty of regenerative orthopedics. There's no risk of overdose because we are using patients' own tissue, own blood. So yes, all these procedures can be repeated when needed.
Okay, that's good to know. One thing which I have to ask is that essentially you're tricking the body into growing more bone cells, you know, regenerating the bone, that kind of thing. People might think, hang on a moment, if we're sort of getting the body to reproduce more cells that it might not have done, is there any danger of it getting out of control and it sort of becoming cancerous? Because cancer is essentially new cells growing out of control. Are there any risks there?
That's the excellent question, and I'm very pleased I can clarify it. Again, a few years ago, Philippe Hernigou has done a massive study on over 2,000 patients whom he treated with stem cells and platelets, and he compared them with another 2,000 patients who didn't have these treatments, and he watched them for, on average, 15 years, and then he looked how what was the incidence of any cancers in the body in those two groups, and there is no difference.
Right.
So that was actually the study the orthopedic fraternity was waiting for, because that sort of opened the gate and say, yes, using stem cells and using platelets is safe from that perspective.
Yeah, fantastic. All right. So it seems like there are only pluses, but are there any potential negatives you can think of?
I don't think so, really, because, as I said, it's a fairly simple treatment. The only negative is that, obviously, It might not work. I would never dare to say that it will help 100% of people, of patients. That it's not happening. So there might be a group of people who will not benefit from it. There might be a group of people who will have a very limited benefit. But I think that balancing the risks and potential benefits, the gravity is on benefits rather than on risks. So I think it's worth trying before operation, because once the operation is done, there's not much we can do. So I think that regenerative orthopedics should be placed somewhere above the surgery on this sort of treatment algorithm. The patients should be given an opportunity to at least think and ask questions about it. And they might not like it, and they might say, oh, no, that's not for me, I'm going for the operation. Fine, that's absolutely fine. But I think, with all fairness, they should have the opportunity to think about it and to get the reliable and honest information.
So actually, is this type of treatment available on the NHS currently? I'm assuming it's not.
It's not available on NHS. However, I found fairly recently, I found a document issued by NICE, so National Institute of the Health Excellence, issued in 2019, just before pandemic. So that's why I think it's sort of, it was buried in the pandemics.
Sure.
And this is actually the guideline for patients who consider having the platelet-rich plasma for the knee arthritis. And it actually says, NICE says, yes, it's okay to have it, providing you will have provided enough information regarding the treatment, you will be followed up properly after the procedure, and so on. So basically, NICE is saying, well, actually, we think it might be a good thing to have the platelet injected for your arthritic knee.
Well, I mean, it seems like it could be a cost-saving thing for the NHS, certainly. It's not such a big operation. It's all a bit quicker. So anyway, I guess time will tell how that pans out.
Yes. I think it usually, these are not things which tend to happen immediately. It simply takes time. But I think the time will come, definitely.
No, I understand. But for now, if people are listening to this and thinking, goodness, this sounds really interesting. This could potentially help me or, a loved one in my family. How can people find out a little bit more? I'm kind of assuming you must have a website with lots of information on it, but what are some good sources?
Yes, I think there are some sources on our website, which is the algocells.com, and also I am listed on the website of the top doctors, and I've written an article there about the platelet-rich plasma, and there should be fairly soon an article on the platelet-rich plasma for the knee replacement as well, for the knee arthritis as well over there. So yes, there are plenty of resources, and obviously patients are very welcome to come to us and talk to us.
Okay, all right. So your contact details are on your website as well.
Yes, they are, of course.
Excellent. That's algocells.com. All right, Zbig, look, thank you very much indeed for talking. This really does sound very interesting, and I think it could potentially help a lot of people. So many thanks.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you very much to my guests on this week's show. And they were the scientists that I spoke with at the City of London Major Centre Cancer Conferences. And they were Professor Hodibala Dilk, otherwise known as my wife, Professor Gary Raw, Professor James Arnold, and Professor Victoria Santamarina. And also Dr. Zbig Kirkor from Algocells. And of course, they are the sponsor for this week's show. So a special thanks to Algocells, who bring regenerative orthopaedic medicine to the UK. And you can see their website. It's algocells.com. And if you or a loved one are in pain, do have a look. And of course, a very special thank you to everyone else for listening. And please do tune in next week.
That was the Relaxed Back UK show with me, Mike Dill. Thank you for listening. And please do join us again next time.